This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. This interview is one in a series CIFA Radio 88.7 FM is conducting ahead of the federal 2025 election occurring April 28th. Our aim is to make a reasonable effort to showcase each candidate running in the Prince George Cariboo riding and the Prince George Peace River Northern Rockies riding, which both intersect our community of Prince George Clay-Lytonay. The intention of the series is to give each candidate an opportunity to share their goals and objectives for their respective ridings and give the audience a sense of who these people are. The following has been edited for clarity and brevity. In CIFA Radio Studios today, we have as a guest Rudy Sands. He is representing the People's Party of Canada in the Cariboo Prince George riding for the 2025 election. Thanks for joining us in studio today, Rudy. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
There's a lot of questions to get through. We'll try to get, as much as we can in a lot of time. And just a quick one off the top for listener context. Where do you feel you fit in on the left to right political spectrum? And where do you feel your party, People's Party of Canada, fits in on that spectrum?
On the political spectrum, commonly known as obviously on the right side of things, we're true conservatives with true conservative values and policies. I've never liked left and right, to be honest. That shifts quite often and I like to use the correct side of the political spectrum.
Within it, between left, center,
yes.
Center, right, you'd call yourself more in the
yes.
right. Okay, thanks for that. Bit of background. Originally, you were born in Paris and you moved to Canada. When did you come over to Canada? How long have you been in the northern BC region?
Immigrated to Canada in Vancouver in 1989. We came the summer before, obviously, to make a decision, this big decision. Check it out. We lived there since 2015. We moved to Prince George in December 2015. I've been here since.
What keeps you busy? What's your profession?
I'm currently a deputy sheriff for the provincial government. I did work a couple years in corrections before that. I love my job. I love my coworkers. And it's a job that I'm fairly well suited for. And, it took a while to find the right job, but I have. And so I'm very fortunate for that. As far as what I do in my own time, well, my interests are obviously geopolitical. I want to find out what the true underlying issues are and why we have so many issues in this country or the world, resources, conflicts, that sort of stuff. And fascinating. The other one is I'm a big fan of precious metals. I do advocate for getting back to sound money and get away from fiat currency. That's one of my big, big pushes.
Just for clarity, is that shifting to something more like the gold standard instead of market-based currency valuation?
Yeah, get back to the gold standard we currently have. Essentially, we're printing money and devaluing the purchasing power of our dollar because there's more money out there to cover the resources that we have and the products that we have. So it's a problem. It's been like that for a long time. And going back to your original questions, I do like fishing. Anything to do with water, lakes, rivers. I rebuild a car to go racing in our local autocross. I play soccer in the second division league here locally. I'm fully committed to this campaign to serve the people of this district here, Cariboo Prince George. I took a month off work on my own dime to do this. I'm proud of it. At the end of the day, you don't have to like me. You don't have to like our policy. That's fine. If you don't, it's perfectly fine. You don't have to vote for us. We don't want you to vote for us. But we do represent a large number of people, and we attract more and more people. At the end of the day, I think all citizens and Canadians are better off with having a choice at the polls, an extra choice where they can just take half an hour or 5 minutes per night and review our 20 policies online, peoplescanadaparty.ca. Straightforward, plain English, easy to read, easy to understand. And then you have an educated position to cast your vote, and that's what I recommend people do.
Some people may look at the People's Party on the right side of the political spectrum and feel that the Conservative Party of Canada takes up that space. How does the People's Party, in your view, differentiate itself from the space they occupy?
Well, the Conservative Party of Canada obviously has been there for a long time. They occupy almost the entire space. For us, we look at the Conservative Party of Canada as conservative in name only. A lot of their policies and views for future Canada don't represent true conservative values. They also like to follow foreign agendas, and such as the UN and World Health Organization, that sort of stuff. They're very much influenced by those policies. They're committed to climate change initiatives, that sort of stuff, and we are not.
What each party seems to have in common right now is that they're upset about tariffs, and it's important to assert Canadian sovereignty. If you were elected and you're carrying the desires of the Cariboo Prince George riding to Ottawa, do you feel that collaboration with other parties on issues is critical to get done what you want to get done? Or do you think partisan politics has a place?
If I were fortunate enough to go to Ottawa, for the record, it's not for myself. I'm a regular guy. I have a regular job. I'm not in it for the positions so much as only to represent people fairly, ensure their future. Of course, we would talk with members of parliament of opposite parties, and we would fight for what we feel is best for Canadians. And we would be strong about our views. And unfortunately, we don't feel the other big five parties have really anything in common with our views. When we talk about sovereignty ourselves, part of that, when you talk about tariffs and the current trade war that just started, we should be able, with the resources that we have in this country, we have more wealth per capita than anybody else in the world. Oil reserves are number three in the world behind Saudi Arabia and Venezuela. We have a lot of precious metals, a lot of forestry. There's nothing we don't have. And those resources should benefit the people of this country, period. We should be self-sufficient and not depend so much on other nations. And that's a side of sovereignty that people don't look at. But it's imperative that we secure that, because things can happen with conflicts around the world, or obviously trade wars. And if you don't have your own products and manufacturing and industries at home, affordable and dependable energy to produce those, and if on top of that you have other foreign entities trying to block what you're able to do, with the obvious one is climate change initiatives, which restricts carbon dioxide emissions, well, then you're not being competitive on the world markets. So if we eliminate that and focus on us and look after ourselves, then there's really not a whole lot that we need from others. So in that sense, that's part of being sovereign and secure.
In the previous federal election, the People's Party did not have a plan to address climate change. As far as I know, the party's stance on that issue right now is mostly a denial of climate change, if I have that right. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
I'll correct you slightly. Yes.
All right. But the way I see it is that there are some environmental consequences we're looking at, like fires, floods, glacial mass is changing, leading to landslides, things like that. Are there some strategies you would like to support in the Cariboo PG riding in regards to these kind of natural disaster related things and essentially climate change related issues?
Okay, so I will address from where you started. The climate has always changed, so we don't deny that the climate doesn't change. It always has, always will. We don't believe that carbon dioxide, plant food, the essential block of all life on Earth, we believe that the more CO2, the better off we are. The current levels are not what they have been even in the past. We don't feel that, we're not alarmists when it comes to climate change. They're pushing that agenda because they can tax it and they can control industries and limit what we're able to produce. There are more environmental issues that are far more threatening than the supposed climate change. Another point is the sun in the sky is the biggest source of energy in our solar system. But for some reason, that's never factored into the equation. You can't tax the sun and you can't restrict its energy output. So is the weather changing? Yeah, I think there's patterns. Throughout history, there's been patterns, or some glaciers melting. Yeah, I just saw something, it was 5% overall. But that has to do with sun energy. It could be. It could be other issues, such as volcanoes going off. They emit a lot of CO2. We're not against proper environmental issues and fixing them. We just don't believe that this is a major issue. It's a major issue when it restricts the ability for people to get affordable and dependable energy. and that's the future. Of course, forest fires are an issue, yes. Seasons are changing. That could be, like I said, for a lot of different reasons. So it's not that it's completely disappeared. It's just that there are shifts, and I don't think anybody fully understands the concept of that. But forest fires, yes. I would focus on this region for sure. You're correct. My goal would be to focus on forestry and cleaning up all the dead brush. We saw that in Jasper, and that went up. And obviously, almost every summer, we have that issue. So we need to clean up the forest, responsible forestry measures. And when we do produce lumber, that lumber is replaced with planting trees. But what we forget is, and locally, and I've seen this for years now, they use pesticides, one of which is a major environmental issue for many, and that's glyphosate. And its intention is to wipe out other vegetation after you plant trees so they're not overwhelmed with other growth. So the glyphosate does a good job at that. Unfortunately, wildlife feeds on that. It goes down the food chain, it gets into the watershed, and glyphosate is extremely toxic, poisonous, and these are the things that we shouldn't be using. And as I said, if we had other ways of doing forestry with less red tape in the way, maybe, and I don't claim to be an expert at all, but I know that's one issue, and environmentalists never look at that. But it is an issue that dear to my heart, because it gets into everything. So that's one thing. So we need to clean up the forest, make sure that there's no lying brush around that can easily catch fire. And yeah, maybe if we cut some spending here and there on wasteful things, we could have more planes. We got plenty of water to put out fires, more jobs for students in the summer to fight fires. I mean, there are lots of things on the table. Like I said, I'm no expert. I just look at a couple things that I see as possible and go from there.
The healthcare system is stressed out.
Yes.
Emergency rooms aren't consistently open across the region. When it comes to the toxic drug crisis, detox centers and rehabilitation facilities and services, they're at capacity. What approach would you carry forward to address this issue in Cariboo, Prince George?
As you might have guessed, I do deal with it at work on an everyday basis. It's a sad situation. It starts at the federal level. We got to secure our borders. That's number one priority. We can't have the level of fentanyl or chemicals coming into this country and producing fentanyl here at home. It's devastating. It's just killed a part of our society. It's really sad. We absolutely need to address it. So we start with the borders, border services. I don't think I have the resources currently. I would definitely focus on that. Search the containers. We need to remove it. Unfortunately, we're in a spot where it's so bad that it's hard to manage. And it just flows from there. Crime, poverty, death. And it's really sad. As Canadians, we should really focus on that and take care of that problem. It's stressing, like you said, our medical system, ambulance, firefighters. They need to be doing other work and be available for those who need help in other ways. It's a broad subject. It's very complicated. It needs attention immediately. I do agree. And again, we'll address it.
Diversity, DEI, has been an integral part of our country's social fabric to the extent that we differentiate ourselves from the USA's, air quotes, cultural melting pot to our own, air quotes, cultural mosaic. Here in the North, immigration, to mention, it's an integral part of the expanding workforce kind of thing. The economy needs that balance. And if you also look at things like accessibility initiatives, they've been found to enable individuals otherwise excluded from the workforce to participate in the economy, helping fill the labor gap. When you're looking at gender and diversity, part of the university community here, I've come to know a lot of talented, hardworking people in the 2S LGBTQIA+ community, some of which have expressed their personal freedom through trans identity. They too are part of the yet emerging workforce. Does a third gender or other identities outside the gender binary have equal footing in your vision for the Cariboo PG District? How can we bring all these different aspects of our society together to be an effective economic force?
To be perfectly honest, we don't practice identity politics. For me, a citizen, a Canadian in this country is like anyone else. They have rights and they're guaranteed under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and we'll defend that. When you talk about different social fabrics, different groups, as you mentioned, we respect the rights of all Canadians in the same way. We don't differentiate between different groups. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what your sexual orientation is. it doesn't matter at the federal level. It should matter at any level, to be honest. My religious beliefs, my sexuality, my thoughts, my finances, they're all private. It doesn't affect my rights as a citizen, as a Canadian. So that's our approach. Like I said, we don't pander to any specific groups to try and get votes. We want to attract all Canadians on just the fundamental basics of human rights. You're human, you're a citizen, you have rights, we'll defend them. It's that simple. As far as I'm concerned, however you want to identify or live your life is your own choice. And as long as you're happy, makes me happy.
Okay.
I just want to encourage all voters to do a little research and vote with what you believe and just get out and vote. That's the most important. Like I said, you don't have to agree with our policies. That's why we have choice. And the important thing is that you go out and vote. Thank you so much.
This is Rudy Sands running for the People's Party of Canada ticket for the Cariboo Prince George riding. And the election is coming up end
28th.
Of April 28th, 2025. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.